Welcome, folks, and again, great to be entering the conversation with someone from the Caribbean who's making a huge difference. Today, we have the fortunate conversation with Ms. Felicia Prasad. She's the founder of the Caribbean ID, the movement to get Caribbean nationals actually counted, accurately counted, and their own origins categories on the upcoming U.S. Census in 2010. And she's the head of the Minority Certified News, PR and Advertising Agency, Heartbeat Communication Incorporated, the company that runs Caribbean World News com, the only daily Caribbean diaspora news wire, and CaribbeanPR.com, the press release news wire of the Caribbean. Saad recently helped to secure a congressional and Senate bill through her lobbying efforts on behalf of Caribbean ID to urge for Caribbean ancestry census category, and she actively partners with the Census Bureau and groups as well as the media to push the message of participation in the upcoming 2010 census. Ms. Prasad is the winner of a New York Association of Black Journalists Award and two Independent Press Associations Award, and for excellence in writing, and has received many congressional, state, and city proclamations and community awards, as well as commendations from the New York City Comptroller for a dedication to the Caribbean community. She's a graduate of the University of Guyana, an alumnus of the country's top high school, Queens College. She sits on the board of the advisors of Bowling Green Association. Welcome, Ms. Prasad, to our conversation.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Let's start off by getting to know you a little. You hail from Guyana. Share a brief overview of your journey from Guyana to here in the U.S.
Well, I basically migrated to the U.S. in 1996 and came here pretty much recently out of college, out of university, with a bachelor's in communications. And my parents at the time believed that, the country, Guyana, really did not have, have a whole lot in terms of offering to young people who were, kind of evolving in the world of work and everything. And they figured that it would be best for my brother and I to migrate. And so that's how we came here because, we had relatives here and everything. And we basically came to America and began the arduous task of like every other immigrant before, trying to make our way and figuring it out in a new country and really deciding, what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go from there. And I basically was lucky enough to get back into journalism, which I basically studied at school and had started in Guyana. And
okay.
And the rest, as they say, is really just history.
Right. So I know some young people do listen to us, and I want to give them some of the ideas. What got you motivated and started around this path of being a journalist?
Well, really from a little kid, I was always very actively reading, and from reading sort of like enlarges, the imagination. And so writing basically became like the second love for me. And at the time, I just thought I would do English literature and sort of like follow that path. But it became very obvious pretty quickly that literature was not something that you could really pretty much earn a living on quickly. And so I branched out into journalism basically with the same love in mind of writing and telling stories. And really, that's what journalism is in a nutshell, but also having that passion and that drive to really know what social issues are and trying to help people and, how to effectuate change, basically.
All right, great. We live in the Internet era where consumers are producing a lot of content. You see YouTube videos that's exploding all over the way. What would you advise someone considering and journalism as a career path, given this new paradigm in communication?
Well, most importantly, they have to be able to grapple and learn the new technology and really, you know, move fast in terms of how we're, you know, how journalism has changed. I mean, it's a lot of, obviously, multimedia now when you talk about journalism, so you have to be able to accurately do that and also be able to move with the timeline, which moves very quickly now because of the whole digital era. So I think those are qualities that young people who are in college are learning. But obviously the basics of journalism remains the five, you know, W's and the H. And I think that is something that is not really being taught. I mean, we get a lot of journalism students who intern with us or who are actually graduating, some of them even with a master's degree in journalism, and their quality is just completely pathetic. And you have to wonder what exactly are they teaching, you know, these kids in school. So I think for anyone, you know, really serious about the art, they really need to have practical experience. They really need to expose themselves to people who really have had that or who can help them, you know, get that and really be open to learning and adapting and not just be arrogant and thinking because they have a master's degree, they know it all.
Okay. So internship on and having a mentor is pretty vital in this kind of
field, considering what's going on in the whole education system now.
All right. Let's turn to one of something I know that's very dear to your heart, that of the heart of, you have a heart of the immigrant and caring and reaching back for folks. What placed this special desire to support immigrant in your heart?
Well, I mean, I am an immigrant, a first-generation immigrant, and I really, you know, while working in the newspaper business and as a journalist, I've seen just so many horrible stories of immigrants being taken advantage of because they just are not really aware of the immigration laws, or they just don't have anyone to turn to. And so they're taken advantage of. A lot of women get, you know, sexually abused. Some people end up paying thousands of dollars and being ripped off by people. And so that's really the whole thing, because at the heart, I think, of myself, I'm very, very much an advocate as well. And okay. I don't like to see, you know, I don't like to see people being taken advantage of. And that's really how my whole interest in immigration, as an immigrant myself, and then just trying to help people and educate them about the immigration law, you know, really came into being. And now, basically, I do continue to do my immigration column. Despite my busy, hectic work schedule, I really, really try to keep that, you know, column going just because I really want to make sure people are aware of what's happening.
And that's at www.immigrationcorner.com. That's K-O-R-N-E-R.
Yes, and also it's in the Amsterdam News every week, which is the oldest black newspaper.
Okay.
And it's there every week for people to really, you know, keep abreast of.
Great. I know last week, I guess, here in the U.S., the immigration issues seem to be coming to the fore again. From a Caribbean's perspective, what are things we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think basically what's happened within the Caribbean community is that a lot of our people and the so-called, you know, community leaders have not been at the forefront of this whole immigration reform push. There are very few people who have actively stayed with the issue over the years. And what happens is that now immigration reform is seen more as a Hispanic issue than as one for everyone else. And
right.
You know, we constantly try to say, listen, it's not just, you know, the Latinos who need immigration reform. It's Caribbean nationals. It's all kinds of immigrants. And I think what Caribbean nationals need to do is to really challenge their, you know, the church leaders where they go to church every Sunday and all the other places that they go and they participate and spend money with, to really, you know, become an active part in this lobbying effort, because, you know, it could easily become a way where we're cut out of this, or it's limited. It could be limited. We've already seen the way the Haitians are dismissed, because, again, we're not as active as other groups. And it could easily become, you know, a means, again, of just limiting the benefits. And so we just have to be very careful, be very proactive, and speak up to say that there are Caribbean nationals who definitely need this immigration reform desperately. There are kids who can't go on to college in a lot of states because they don't have a green card. And it's a very, very sad situation that we really need to address as a people within our community and be more vocal about.
You've certainly been pretty vocal about it. Not just vocal, you've put some muscle, and you're the driving force behind this program called Caribbean ID. First, tell us what it is, and tell us why we need this special designation as outlined in the Caribbean ID initiative.
Well, you know, Chris, basically Caribbean ID came about because it was a very simple, I thought at the time, simple request I was making of the U.S. Census Bureau, which is that in 2007, I believe, I asked them to do a fact for features on the Caribbean community in Caribbean Heritage Month, because they do it for every other heritage month for every other immigrant group. And, you know, I thought it was a very basic request, and at the time it turned into a big issue for them because they basically admitted that they did not have the numbers to do it. They did not have the numbers to tell our story. And this is of a group that's been here since slavery. We've contributed to this country in so many ways, and we continue to pay our taxes to create jobs, to, you know, buy homes. We're really contributing to this country. And so basically what the Census Bureau was saying that statistically we just did not exist. We were invisible, and that really ticked me off. And so from being mad about it, you know, someone, a colleague of mine said, well, you know, why don't you do something about it?
Okay.
And at the time I thought it was a very scary challenge, you know. You know, me taking on the Census Bureau,
okay.
I mean, I don't know how that was going to work. But I figured, well, hey, let me just ask around. So I began asking other Caribbean, you know, people, community leaders, media people especially who were affected by this issue. And everything came back that, it is an issue, you know, that we need to really deal with. But nobody was willing enough to really take it on as a challenge, as a fight.
Right.
And so that's how we began a very lonely fight. You know, very few people at the time really wanted to get involved or really committed to the whole battle. But we continued spreading our message, making the call, and the media, you know, definitely helped. Caribbean media, mainstream media, they started to pick it up. And then from there, we began, you know, began liaisoning with the Hispanic groups who had actually done this fight in the 70s.
Okay.
And so they began mentoring me in terms of what needed to be done, the legislation, the continued grassroots push. And so that's how we began the legislative fight, with just me and two other people going up to the, you know, to the congressional subcommittee.
Okay.
And making our call, and the subcommittee telling us, well, you need to get a bill, you know, a bill introduced in the Congress. And so we continued, you know, hammering all these lawmakers, writing letters, begging them to really do this. And then Congresswoman Yvette Clark finally answered our call in April of this year, April 23rd.
Okay.
And, you know, she basically worked with us behind the scenes to, you know, formulate the bill, to do all this, you know, to answer all the tough questions that we thought would come up. And then she basically put the bill in that would call for an ancestry, not an ethnic category, on the form, which is very similar to what the Hispanics, you know, the Hispanics have done. Because our whole argument was, we do not want to be perceived as being divisive, you know.
Right.
So it is not, it definitely is not a divisive move in terms of just breaking up the black community or any other community, because, you know, the Caribbean is so multi-ethnic.
Exactly.
But we said we want to be able to identify your ancestry, but also allow people to identify their ethnicity. So you can be Caribbean and black, Caribbean and Asian, or whatever else people figure they are. But at the end of the day, we're now being able to actually accurately tell how many Caribbean nationals there are, you know, in the country. at the end of the day. We're able to adequately tell their spending power, measure their voting strength. I mean, all these things that the census does with numbers, because that's basically what the census does, is to tell the story in numbers.
Right.
And that is what we really desperately need. I mean, whether you're in the private sector or you're in, you know, either in a community organization, you're in government, everyone wants to know the basic numbers. It's just a fact of life. And we just don't have that. And so that's what the bill really calls for. And then in May, we got Senator Schumer and Gillibrand, also in New York, to introduce the companion Senate bill.
Okay.
And so that is on the Senate side, because, you know, you have to do this on both sides of the houses so that
right.
you can have it being pushed on both sides. So that's really what the bill, the legislative process is underway, but it's definitely not going to happen for 2010 because the 2010 census is so advanced already.
Okay.
And so what we're telling people to do now is really to write in their country of origin under question 8 of the form and just tick no, not Hispanic, and then obviously fill in their race. So that we can begin to send a clear message to the census and to the lawmakers that this is something that we truly want, that we're willing to really write it in because we want our own.
So you're
and
saying,
it also allows us to not just miss 2010 in terms of missing the census. It allows us to also be able to, you know, start getting our count up.
So it's question number 8, that's where we make
question
the decision.
Question 8, yes. Question 8 is where the only origin section on the form right now. And it's for, basically, it's for Hispanics, but you can also tick that you know not Hispanic. And there is a block there, a blank box where you can write in your country.
Okay. Go ahead.
And then question 9 is the race question, where people can basically fill out their race.
So 8 to 9, people should be paying particular question attention to those piece questions.
Definitely.
Okay. I know the Census Bureau, I saw them at the carnival yesterday promoting that issue, so they're aware of your effort and hopefully these would dovetail.
Yes, we are working very closely with the Census Bureau in a lot of the states, especially where Caribbean nationals are more in numbers, you know, at least that we perceive it to be. So the Washington, D.C. Carnival and Carib ID basically partnered with the census for the carnival this weekend.
Right, okay.
To really spread the message to Caribbean nationals. We're doing the same thing in New York. And basically we're doing it with, you know, any of the major events that really, you know, want to do it with us. And we're basically dovetailing it with the census message and getting them, you know, to really, really, you know, stress the importance also of why this is so important.
So if I'm a community organizer of some sort, like I know in the summer months remaining, there is going to be a lot of independence celebration. That would be another venue where we can promote the Carib IB.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, we're asking anyone basically to become just an ambassador in the process, whether you're an individual or an organization or just a media house. Because I think we all have a vested interest in this, and we all can spread the word, especially in this digital era where an email is, you know, it's the easiest thing to send out, or a blog posting. So if we all energize, if we all spread the word, I think our community can get it, and we can really make a difference in terms of increasing our numbers for 2010, because that will be the ultimate, you know, value or measurement of success for this program.
So, or the amount of participation we have. Are there other critical milestones we should be paying attention to in this process leading up to?
Well, for this process, we really need, I think, the spreading of the word to get people to really respond once they receive the form in March of 2010 and returning it, filling it out and returning it is really very, very critical. And that is where we need to focus on. The legislative process is not going to be for now. It's before the subcommittees, and I don't think the subcommittees are going to focus on this issue until the end of the next census. So that category is going to be a fight for the next census, which will be 2020.
Right.
And I think that would be, that's something that is going to be an ongoing fight. But I think for 2010, because it's just, you know, less than 300 days away, we really have the impetus now to really focus and push this whole write-in campaign.
So questions 8 and 9, we better pay attention to. Good. You're certainly in the communication business. You're the CEO of a communication company. Hard to beat. What do you sense in your value proposition in the marketplace?
Well, I mean, it's been very difficult because as a small company, we basically focus more on the Caribbean marketplace, whether it's here or the region. And it's been very difficult because, again, we just don't have the numbers to show that our marketplace is very, you know, valued. And that's been that has been a very big fight of ours for, and I know it is for every other company or media house that, you know, that tries to sell the Caribbean market. So really, we continue to do this, you know, based on the fact that there are still some companies, especially those in the Caribbean, that are more interested in reaching their diaspora. And so
Right. That's
been a big, big spin-off of what we've been able to do and grow with as a company. But we also want to be able to take advantage of the companies who are here in the U.S. who are really, you know, getting the value of Caribbean nationals and their dollars, because we're spending money with every of the mainstream companies,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're not getting anything back in return. And that, I think, is something that Carib ID can do as well, is to really boost our, boost our presence, boost our viability, and also not just help Heartbeat, but help every other company that is Caribbean-focused in terms of, you know, the marketplace in growing and being able to show, you know, whether it's Verizon or Time Warner or whoever else, to show that we really are a viable market that needs to be targeted as and spoken to as Caribbean, you know, as Caribbeans. And that, I think, is a problem now, and we just continue to fight the battle. But we've been very blessed in terms of, you know, really, like I said, getting a lot of the business from companies back home,
uh-huh.
who are targeting the diaspora market. And also some companies here who have seen, you know, the growth of the Caribbean market, and despite the numbers, they realize it's a very valued market. And so they all come to us to really help them in terms of reaching this market, whether it's through media buying or PR or pretty much just our news service.
Well, I'm glad your services are there now. You're making the world actually smarter and smaller because you're using these technologies to be able to connect us with the diaspora, with our lands of origin. So thank you so much for your services.
Well, thank you.
And finally, where can folks, as I said, this is going to be an ongoing, it's a long-term issue. Where can folks go to get further information on this initiative?
Well, we have our website, caribid2010.com, that they can go there for details on the movement. But also they can log on to our caribworldnews.com for updated news on the issue, continued advice in terms of writing it in. And they can also, we have some YouTube videos that we're asking people to share around and really help spread the message. Basically, it speaks to the whole message of writing it in and what they need to do. And so they can just, log on to YouTube and do a search for Carib ID. Or it would be to YouTube, I believe, and it would be /heartbeat.
/heartbeat. And there's a series of YouTube videos that can be made viral.
Actually, Richie Stevens has done, he's been very, very good and done a PSA for us as well in terms of really, you know, advising people on supporting the movement. Because we really need to. I'm so tired and sick of Caribbean organizations. You know, every year they can't get sponsorship. The media being dismissed and it cannot grow because they can't get advertising dollars. our votes being taken for granted because we just don't measure up in terms of, you know, actually being able to put a number to how many votes there are. I mean, there's just so many issues. Our communities are being dismissed because we're not filling out the form, so nobody sees us there. And so the issues that we really need funding for, you know, they just don't get funded. And these are all issues that we need to be concerned about. And if we really want a difference, then this is the only way that we can make that difference by really registering our country on the census form.
I can't agree more. I thank you so much, Ms. Prasad, for your pioneering work. We're going to be behind you and supporting this. And we certainly stay in touch and stay on top of this issue as we enter into this season where the census will be taken for this coming year. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Is there another parting word you'd like to have for community?
Well, I really need, you know, especially the organizations to get involved, the event promoters and the artists and people, just people with a voice and people who, you know, who are lucky enough to have a lot of people listening to them are really the messengers that we're looking for, the ambassadors, to really get involved in this process because at the end of the day, it affects their future as well.
Exactly. You've heard a clarion call. Folks, let's rally. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.